All right, we covered chapter one, who's your daddy? We covered chapter two, who is Jesus? Tonight we're going to cover chapter three, who is the Holy Spirit? It's important to know who the Holy Spirit is. He plays a massive part in your life. In fact, in the Godhead, he's the one working in your life. So we want to make sure we understand who the Holy Spirit is. So the one thing we want to know right off the bat is that God does not change. Now, what do we mean by that? We know that God the Father, the Godhead, does not change, but how he has worked with mankind has changed. Now, what does that mean? When God, in the Old Covenant, God was the main one. God the Father was the main one working with people. So we know that God, remember with Moses, you know, up on the mounts, we know that God dealt with the Ten Commandments. We know that God led them by the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. We know that God the Father is the one who judged them. God the Father was mainly the one who dealt with the children of Israel and dealt with that time called the law. When Jesus Christ came, who's Jesus? Jesus is? He is God. Remember, we talked about deity last week. Jesus was all God and all flesh in the same body. But he gave up all of his heavenly glory, Philippians chapter 2, to come down here and live as a man. He gave up all of his heavenly power so that he could be a Messiah, Hebrews chapter 4, that could identify with all of the troubled trials and weaknesses that we struggle with. That's why he could declare in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that there was not one sin that God has not understood and that he gives a way of escape for. So by Jesus being God, he was the one working with mankind on this planet for those 3 years that he was here. But when Jesus ascended at the right hand of the Father, we know that the Word of God declares that the Holy Spirit was sent. Who's the Holy Spirit? He is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are three yet one. Everybody say that with me. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are three, yet one. It's called the triunity of the Godhead. Jesus stated in John chapter 14, 6 through 7, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. He talked about going away. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, who is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. So we find that Jesus, when he ascended, sent the Holy Spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit? He is God. So God the Father was working with mankind on the earth during the law. Jesus, the one who came in the flesh, was dealing with mankind for those 3 years. Once Jesus ascended on high, then the Holy Spirit, who is God, now deals with mankind on this earth. So the Godhead, the person of the Godhead that we work directly with, in fact, the Word of God declares, if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you now become the temple of the Holy Spirit. So literally, God himself dwells inside of your spiritual man, and you are possessed. So God the Father is not directly working with you. God the Son is not directly working with you. Who's living inside of you? God the Holy Spirit. Amen. They are three yet. Amen. Now, what's interesting is when I was a child, now my uncle and I can attest, when I was a child, we sang about the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. How many of you remember that song? Amen. You're all old timers, I can tell. That's old time gospel. You know, come, Holy Spirit. We would sing about the Holy Spirit. We would sing about the anointing. But guess what? We were told, don't talk to the Holy Spirit. His only job is to bring glory to Jesus. Let me tell you something. What happened was the extraction of relationship with the Holy Spirit, who is who? He is God. The extraction from relationship with the Holy Spirit, who is God dwelling in us, was a big part of my childhood. We didn't talk to the Holy Spirit. We didn't say anything to the Holy Ghost. Mainly, he was just like an invisible thing. But there has to be an understanding who the Holy Spirit is, because the Holy Spirit is God working and living in you. So if you don't know the one and talk to the one who's living in you, then you're missing a whole level of relationship that is available to you. I want to encourage you to buy this book. I think I've said this before, but I'd encourage you to buy it. And I'm sure you can get it on iBooks or Kindle or any of those other ones. It's a book from Benny Hinn, H-I-N-N, called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. How many of you have read that book before? Oh, good. Praise the Lord. It's a good amount of you. I'd encourage you to get that book. Now, I believe you could also go to the public library and get that book. You want that book. Why? That book is going to teach you how to, and you, just the title itself, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. It's going to help you develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit, who is God. And where is God dwelling? Inside of you. So a lot of people go like this to pray. Well, where's God? He's dwelling in you. So it's really what's happened in our brains is we've accepted a religious mindset that says that God is somewhere up there. But if you're born again, God is where? He's in your spirit, which means literally he dwells inside of you. This is so important because what happens to the body of Christ is we make the Holy Spirit more of a thing than a he. And this is a scary part because there are false religions out there. We call them cults. Jehovah's Witness is a great example. The Holy Spirit, to the Jehovah's Witness, he is an it. He is a thing. He is not a he. Now, I find a lot of believers, good Christians, they address the Holy Spirit as an it. Well, I don't know about you, but if I walked up to you and said, hey, how are you, it? You know, that could be a little offensive, and he's got big hands. You know, if you walked up to somebody and you didn't address them and they're a human being, you called them an it. How many of you might be offended if you were called an it and you meant it? Hi, it. You know, it's just rude. Well, this is the fact what's happened to the Holy Spirit. Well, first of all, many Christians ignore him, which is rude. Then many Christians consider him an it, which is rude. And then others consider him of nothing. He's nothing more than a moving force. It's not a he. They don't pray to the Holy Spirit. They ignore him. Total ignoring. So therefore, the Holy Spirit, you know, he is God. It's like a person of the Godhead completely ignored. And he's the one that's working with us directly every single day. So you need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Many of you have never heard this before, but you need to get this. You need to start talking to the Holy Spirit. He is the one who lives inside of you. When you ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. John chapter 14, verse 17, he dwells with you and will be in you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 and 17, do you not know that you are the temple that the Spirit of God dwells in? See, this is literal and not figurative. So we need to get, this is the supernatural move of heaven. When you literally accept Jesus, there is a supernatural move of God that happens in your life. It is not a religious function. It is not a religious adoration. It is not joining a religious organization. There is literally a supernatural evidence that the Spirit of God literally dwells inside of you. And that is a powerful reality when you recognize that you are literally possessed by God himself. Now, if God dwells in you, what can you not do? You can choose not to sin, but you can't fail. If the one who brooded over creation, and that's we see the Holy Spirit brooding over creation in Genesis chapter 1, if he literally dwells in you and he is God, then how can you fail? This is where that disconnect has happened in Christianity. You notice I use the word Christianity. But this should never be the disconnect to a citizen. The Bible calls him the seal of God. What is the seal? Well, in the Roman times, what they would do when they were sending an official document, they would melt wax, and a signet ring with a seal of the emperor would be mushed into the wax, and it would hold and keep the form. Now, what that was, that now was an official document. In fact, if you broke an official document, the law said that you were to be burned alive. So it was not a joke. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is our seal, which means, man, you are sealed in God. You are God's property. Amen. I like that factor. Amen. Who's the owner? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, even all the people. Come on now. You are sealed when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There is a supernatural experience that occurs, and he dwells inside of you. Who dwells inside of you? The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. Now, I think I said this last week, but in the Old Covenant, that wasn't a privilege. In the Old Covenant, the only ones who had the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, there was only one people group, actually, only one. And that was those who built the tabernacle. Isn't that weird? God only spoke to the kings, the priests, and the prophets. He never spoke to the people. But there was only one people group. In the Old Covenant, the Holy Spirit would come upon them. But only in the New Covenant, after Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, that now you and I can have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. That is a phenomenal privilege. How many of you remember Samson and his great capabilities of slaughtering 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass? Just, you know, sometimes you just want to say that word. It's a lot of fun. I just did it biblical. You know, jawbone of an ass. And you know, he ripped the lion apart. And, you know, all that stuff. All those supernatural. But watch. The Spirit of God came upon him. You're even more powerful than that because the Spirit of God dwells in you. See, this is the transition that Jesus came. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, that Jesus is a mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises. How could there be better promises? Because Christ died, and now the Spirit of God is not hovering over the earth. Now the Spirit of God is not just somewhere else. He's always in the believer. You are literally possessed by the Holy Spirit. It is the greatest thing that God has ever done. Why? Because now the power of God dwells in you. He's not an it or a thing. He is a personality. The Holy Spirit speaks. In Acts chapter 8, verse 29, then the Spirit said to Philip. So that means the Holy Spirit spoke to him. How many of you have ever had the Holy Spirit speak to you? Amen. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. He will. Some of you may do an audible voice. You might mess your britches, but you'll maybe do an audible voice. Some of you, it might be just that still, small voice or the impression. Have you ever gone and you just felt like you needed to do something and you couldn't shake it? It's amazing that the Holy Spirit will speak to you in so many different ways. And we actually will get into the chapter, how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. But he'll speak to you. And he spoke this day in the book of Acts. He spoke to the man of God called Philip and he said, go near and overtake the chariot. In Acts chapter 10, we see the Holy Spirit speaking again in 19 and 20. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now, the Holy Spirit not only speaks, but he also teaches you. See, this is why you have to have a relationship with him, because he wants to teach you things. Has anybody ever, whether you turned on the television or you just got around somebody and you knew something is just not right? You can't explain it. You don't understand it. There's no reason for it. They're a nice person. This doesn't seem to be anything wrong. But you know the hair on the back of your head has stood up. And you know there's something inside that grinding, that Holy Spirit grinding, I call it, that, oh, just something's not right here. That's the Holy Spirit teaching you, trying to teach you what to do, what not to do, where to go, how to go. He's trying to teach you how to follow his voice. There are multiple times that the Holy Spirit has told me not to do things, and I've overridden the roadblocks. Listen, whenever you ride over roadblocks, you always crash. It's always wise to learn quickly. Turn to someone and say, please learn quickly. You want to learn quickly. It's okay to crash a few times, but it's just not intelligent to stop listening. It's not intelligent to not listen to the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will also teach you the Word of God. In John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I have said. You see, while you're in this class, whether you recognize it or not, the seeds of the Word of God are getting into your spirit. The Word of God is told that it will not return void. Even if you reject it, the Word will not return void. And what will happen is the Holy Spirit will teach you things from this Word. And what's really exciting is, you might think that you just heard it once and it just kind of lost and, I don't have a good memory. Don't you ever say that, by the way. Don't you ever say that out loud. Don't you ever give the devil the opportunity to dismantle your memory, because the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance all those things which Jesus taught. I mean, I have stood there and I've been talking to people and all of a sudden verses will come out that I haven't heard since Bible school. Well, where'd they come from? The Holy Spirit. He'll bring to remembrance all things that the Lord has taught. Can I hear an amen? John chapter 14, 16 and 17. Now I pray the Father that he will give you another helper and he might abide with you forever, the Holy Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now the Spirit also guides us. This is the great part of the Holy Spirit. He'll show us where to go. John chapter 16, 12 and 13. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. However, when he, everybody shout he, not it, he, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. I remember one time I was getting ready to preach the gospel. I was out in Ohio somewhere, and I asked the Holy Spirit. I said, Holy Spirit, I was learning this principle. I said, Holy Spirit, you bring the message from the Father. You will always tell me what the Father wants. I ask that you'll tell me what to preach. And I felt in my spirit an impression to preach out of the book of John. I believe it was John chapter 15. And I tried to shake it. I was on a walk, actually, and I tried to shake it a few times, but that verse just kept coming up. That's how you know it's the Holy Spirit. You can't shake it. Try to shake it. Try to say it's just your mind. Well, that's just me. Well, you know, I might have heard that somewhere else. Well, you know, I don't know if I, well, you know, but you can't shake it. And so I stood up that night and preached the gospel, and they started chuckling. And what it was the last two preachers preached out of the exact same verse. The Holy Spirit was trying to teach them something, and it took three preachers to get it down to them. The Holy Spirit will teach you. He will teach you where to go, what to do. He will guide you to make sure that you're walking in the right path and doing the right things. You know, some of you, it's really cool because you'll start going somewhere, and you'll just feel this check in your spirit. Nope, shouldn't do that. You're not sure why. It doesn't make sense. I want to challenge you to continue to start learning the voice of the Holy Spirit, because he will direct you. He will guide you. He will stop you from going places, and then he'll direct you to places that you need to go. There'll be times when I'll be going to a certain location and the Holy Spirit will say, go a different direction. And it doesn't make sense. Why would I need to go to a different direction? But I've learned over the years to stop questioning him. He knows the end from the beginning. Intelligence says, if he knows, then just do it. And so I would take a different direction. Now, I don't know why. I don't know what was stopped. Who knows? I could have been in an accident. Who knows? Something could have occurred. I don't know, and I don't need to know. Listen, everybody wants to know everything that God is trying to tell them to do. Sometimes you just got to be smart enough just to obey. Sometimes you just got to be smart enough to obey the guiding of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit can stop people from making decisions that are dangerous. Acts chapter 16, 6 and 7. Now when they had gone through Phrygia, the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Who didn't permit them? The Holy Spirit. You got to listen. Now, I had a buddy of mine who was an evangelist. He was driving up the road, and this is back when tapes were being used, so that you know that was a few years ago. And he had a tape in of a preacher, and he was coming up this big hill, and it crested at the top end, and the Holy Spirit said, "Pull over and get a tape out of the trunk." He started arguing with the Holy Spirit. He says, "I've got a tape in there." And the Holy Spirit would not stop. I said, "Pull over, open your trunk, and get a tape out." So he finally obeyed the voice of the Holy Spirit, pulled over, got out, got a tape out of the trunk, put it in the deck, and started driving up the road. When he crested the top, there was a major car accident at the top, and if he had continued going at the same time, he'd have been in the car accident. I had a friend of mine his name is Terry Shuttlesworth, actually. He got off the airplane, went to the car rental, and the Holy Spirit said to him, "Tell the girl that I love her." And he goes, "No, it's just too weird, Holy Spirit. It's just too weird." And so his wife, they got in the rental car, and the Holy Spirit, he's getting ready to pull out of the parking lot, and the Holy Spirit said, "No, I told you to go in and tell her I love her." So he put it in park, walked inside, looked at the lady and said, "Can I talk to you?" She goes, "Sir, is everything okay with the rental?" She says, "Yes, I just need to speak to you for just a few minutes." She came over and he says, "The Lord Jesus wanted me to tell you that he loves you." And she busted out crying, dropped to her knees. I mean, he said it really looked bad. And what it was she was in a backslidden condition, living with a man. And he invited her to the service that night, and her and her boyfriend came and gave their hearts to Jesus. The Holy Spirit will guide you. He loves to guide you, and he'll keep you from danger. The Holy Spirit intercedes. That means he prays for you. Turn to someone and say, "Isn't it a good thing that God is praying for you?" In fact, this morning, which was really cool, I was praying. I was taking my time. I pray every morning. I take my time to pray every morning. You do know that the average pastor only prays 5 minutes a day, so I decided not to be average. And so I take my time with the Lord every single morning, and I spend my time separated with him. He's the first person I talk with. I don't even talk to the dog first. He's the first person I talk with. And I go out to my man cave, and I pray and spend time with Jesus. And this morning, I was just praying in the Holy Spirit. I mean, just praying in tongues. That's what I did literally the entire hour I was upstairs, just praying in tongues. And I just said, "Holy Spirit, I need you to pray through me, because you know exactly what to pray for and exactly how to pray." If you remember one of the messages we did up here on how to have God answer your prayers. And so that's all I did, was pray in tongues the whole time. And some would say, "Well, you know, what did you accomplish?" I have no idea, but I know it was good. Because the Holy Spirit was interceding through me. He was praying through me. When you pray in other tongues, the Holy Spirit is speaking through you to the Father. It is a supernatural language that you need in your life. It is a power that is released from God and a gift from God for your prayer language and for the dunamis power of heaven so that you can move in the supernatural. So I prayed that entire hour, and what happened? The Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 8, was interceding through me for whatever things. And there were a few times I said, "Holy Spirit, I want to pray for this situation." And I just started praying in tongues. And I know that the Holy Ghost was talking to the Father exactly to get that situation taken care of. And how in the world will God the Father not answer God the Spirit? You can't fail. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as yet as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered." The Spirit can agree. The Bible says in John chapter 15, 26 and 27, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you will also, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So the Spirit of God, now when you get saved, that's a great part of, about the Holy Spirit. And some of you, when you got saved and I prayed with you, one of the things I did was lay hands on you and I said, Holy Spirit, bring evidence that they are your child. And there is a move of God where you cannot fake and you cannot just make it up. Where the Holy Spirit will agree in you that you are now a child of the living God. You don't have to say, I hope I'm going to heaven. Now you know you're going to heaven. You don't have to say, I hope that my sins are washed away. You know your sins are washed away because it's a supernatural move of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is very important, too. The Holy Spirit can agree and always agrees with Jesus. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Word. The Holy Spirit and the Word always agree. Say it again. The Spirit and the Word always agree. Now, this means this. There are people that go out there and they're kind of what I call nuts and flakes. There are crazy people out there in Jesus land. There's some real crazy individuals. And you know what? God loves the crazy too. But you got to recognize the crazy. When somebody comes up and tells you some crazy stuff and it does not agree with the Word, the Holy Spirit will tell you this way. You'll feel it inside. You'll go, oh, that's just not right. You don't even have to say it. But inside, you just know, nope. Listen to a preacher, and you just know, nope, that guy's nuts. You know, you just know the Spirit of God will agree with the Word. And so if something is off, he will let you know. That's that guiding of the Holy Spirit. He'll let you know that that person's a nut and a flake. Because there's a lot of them out there. Come on now, can I hear a double amen? We were watching one the other day. Cody and I were talking about it today. We were watching. This lady was preaching, and she got the Holy Ghost came on her, and she was playing what was it called? The supernatural trumpet. So she, woo! It's like, you are crazy, lady. You're just crazy, man. You ain't got no Holy Ghost. You're filled with something, but it ain't, you messed up. The Holy Spirit will show you. That's the guiding and the agreeing. The Spirit of God always agrees with the Word of God. The Spirit has a mind and he thinks. John chapter 8, verse 27, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. The what? The mind of the Spirit. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, for what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Let me explain what this means to you. You ever try to tell one of your friends why you tithe? What are you, stupid? You give money to the church? What are you, crazy? You go to church how often? What is wrong with you? You don't want to know why they do that? Because they don't understand. And you can't expect them to understand. The Bible says, who can know the things of God but the Spirit of God? So that means this. If a person is not born again, spiritual principles make no sense to them. It makes no sense that you would give money to God. It makes no sense that you would come to church on a Tuesday night. It makes no sense that you would drive an hour to church. Up to three times a week. What is wrong with you people? There's a church right down the street. Two. But you see, the Holy Spirit is the one who will guide you, but he's the one who knows the things of God. So when something's not right, man, you just know it. And you got to get a hold of this, because you need to start hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. He'll warn you even before you go to sin. Don't do that. You'll feel it inside. It's that. We call it a check. And I'm not talking check. I'm talking, ooh. Nope. Oh, don't do that. And then you have a choice. You override the voice of the Holy Spirit, or you yield to the voice of the Holy Spirit. But he thinks he has a mind, and he wants to show you and teach you how to walk properly. The Bible says the Holy Spirit loves. Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ, that through the love of the Holy Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. The Bible says the Spirit makes decisions and exercises his will. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing them to each one as he wills. The Spirit comforts and counsels. And John chapter 14, 16 and 17. And I'll pray the Father who will give you the helper, that he may abide within you in the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because he neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit is the comforter, the helper. What do we mean by that? He will counsel you. How many of you have ever said you needed a counselor? Greatest counselor you can get is God. Man, you go sit in his presence, you talk to him, and he's going to unveil things of why your mind's all messed up. You know, what's amazing is, and just to show you that the people of the world don't get the things of God, if you end up in the psych center and you start saying, well, you know, I need to talk to Jesus, you're staying. No. I had that one lady, man, she had a demonic spirit come on her. I'm talking, she was actually manifesting. They took her to the psych center. I walked in there and I knew it was a devil. And I said, can I have 5 minutes with this lady alone? And they said, yes. They walked out. I walked in and I said, in the name of Jesus, you foul devil, I command you to come out of her right now. I said, now. And literally, her face changed. She calmed right down. And they came in and they said, wow, Pastor, you just have a way with people. And I said, well, thank you very much. And I looked at the lady and I said, don't say anything. Don't tell them anything. Well, they're going to ask, don't, you will never leave here if you say you are possessed by a devil. Know this, that the people of the world cannot comprehend the things of the Holy Spirit. And if you have a need, he will talk to you. He will counsel you. He will comfort you. He will be your helper to get through emotional problems and emotional situations. He is so faithful. And where does he live? Listen, you don't have to lay down on someone's bed and pay him $100. Lay in your own bed. Talk to the Holy Ghost. I had a lady up in Newfield. She had been raped as a child. And she was at that point, I think, in her mid-30s. And she had been going to a counselor, professional counselor, paying $75 a week for 11 years. And I said to her, I said, how you doing? She says, well, you know, it's really not helping a lot. And I said, well, give me a month. Is that all right? I said, you can give your $75 to the offering. I said, just 1 month. She said, all right. I said, but you got to do exactly what I say. I said, every morning when you get up, I guess she took a tub. She didn't take a shower. I said, every morning when you get up and you get in the tub, I don't want you to talk to another human being. I just want you to pray in tongues for at least 10 minutes. And then when you get out of the tub, then you can talk to another human being. She said, that's it? I said, that's it. Just pray in tongues for the first 10 minutes. Don't talk to another human being. Do it while you're in the tub. After a month, she came back to me and she said, you know what? The Spirit of God worked everything through my life. I don't even need to go back to my counselor. And she never went back to the counselor. And, I mean, I could call her today and she'd validate the story. She lives right here in Horseheads. The Spirit of God is your counselor. And he's waiting to talk to you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is also the supernatural baptizer. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1, verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I don't know how many of you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues, but you need to be. It's not like, you know, it's a horrible thing. Can you imagine being brought into the armed forces? They take you through the training. Now it's time to go to war. I'm talking like real war, life and death. And they say, go ahead, but they don't give you a gun. You got no weapons. Or they give you a weapon, but they give you no bullets. How many of you recognize that you can still hit somebody with the butt of the gun, but you got no bullets for your gun? Man, you need the Holy Ghost. You need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You need to speak with other tongues. That's the bullets, and baby, you can spout it off, and you are. What do they call that? Full. What is that? Not semi-automatic, but fully automatic. What do they call that? Machine gun. Auto, full auto, which is illegal. But you need the Holy Ghost. He's the baptizer. And where does he live in you right now? Listen, when you're saved, the Spirit of God dwells in you. But there's another experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. That's what we just read in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God came on them after they prayed. And what happened? They got filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues. And then Peter, the same one who denied Jesus, come on, not too many chapters before, the same one who denied Jesus three times is the one, after filled with the Holy Spirit, got a fresh boldness and stood up and preached the very first message to I don't know how many people. There were two million people in Jerusalem at that point. We don't know how many actually heard it. But that day, the church was launched because 3,000 men gave their heart to Jesus. That same Peter who denied Jesus after being filled with the Holy Ghost and with power then stood up and preached the gospel unabashed and actually preached it to where 3,000 men gave their hearts to Christ. You need the baptizer. The Spirit of God also gives supernatural gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one to profit all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge. To another, the gift of faith. To another, gifts of healing. To another, the working of miracles and prophecy, discerning of spirits. To another, the gift of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing them to each one as one individually as he wills. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the supernatural power of God, those nine gifts that we've already talked about in the past, who gives them? The Holy Spirit. So if you don't know the voice of the Holy Spirit, what are you getting? If you have no relationship with the Holy Spirit and you ignore him all the time, then how in the world is he going to give you the gifts? You need a relationship with him. You need to start talking to him. He's waiting for you to understand and know his voice. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings conviction. Ooh, turn to somebody and say, I love conviction. Come on, tell somebody, I love conviction. John chapter 16, 8 through 11, and when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Conviction is your friend. Turn to somebody and say, conviction is your best friend. If you feel no conviction, yeah, you can say that. If I feel no conviction, I'm doomed. That is the truth. Where there is no conviction, you're doomed. It means the Holy Spirit is not working with you. That is a bad thing. Who draws you to the Father? The Holy Spirit. So when there is no conviction of sin, you're in a bad spot. Don't fear the one who can kill your body, but fear the one who can kill your body and your spirit. Hello. You're so temporary-minded, you only look at your physical nature. Your physical moment here is short compared to the eternal value that you have. If you do not yield to conviction, then you'll ride the roadblocks and you'll end up selling your soul to Lucifer. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a person give in exchange for their soul? What would you sell your soul for? A man, a woman, money, pride? What would you sell your soul for? Alcohol, drugs, popularity? What do you sell your soul for? Listen, whether you like it or not, somebody owns you. It's either God or Lucifer. Nobody owns me. Yes, sir. If you're not following the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're owned by Satan. He's your father. There's only two fathers, Father God and Father Satan. Remember, there are only three worlds. Heaven, the invisible, kingdom of God, the kingdom of Satan, which is invisible, and then earth, which was supposed to be the manifestation of heaven on earth. But because of sin, Lucifer had the free reign to also show forth who he is. And the Bible says that he is the prince and the power of the air, that he is the god of this world system. So conviction is where you and I are directly spoken to by the Holy Spirit of what to do, when to do, how to do, and especially holding us back from sin. Now, conviction is twofold, not only after you've sinned, but also before. This is the great part about the Spirit of God. You have an opportunity. We have New Year's Eve coming. Some of you are going to have the opportunity to go to parties. Yep. I know I'm only speaking to the live stream people. People are going to have opportunity to go to parties. So here you are. You have the opportunity to go to a party. Let's just say you make the choice to go to the party. And the Holy Spirit says, no. I don't want you to go to that party. Well, how does he do that? You'll feel that I've got that ucky feeling. Oh, that ucky feeling. And you say to yourself, no, I've got the willpower. I won't sin. I've got that ucky feeling and it won't go. So,
thank you.
So here you are, you're getting ready to go to the party, your friends are pressuring you, yet you know the voice of the Holy Spirit, he's saying, don't do it! Now you have a choice. You can go and override the voice of the Holy Spirit. How many of you know when you override the voice of the Holy Spirit, you're now walking in troubled land? Because he will never warn you if it's safe. Now, he might be warning you against yourself. So you go to the party. They offer you a drink and you say, well, no, I just want some water. An hour goes by. Your buddy thrusts a beer in your face or... You know, the girls say, you know, just have one with us. What's wrong with you? I heard you're religious. Now, what are you, better than us? Come on, you know, what's wrong with you? You used to be cool. You used to be fun to hang out with before you started going to that cult. All right, just one. Bam. Well, then, there's no more holds. Bars hold. I mean, you're now loose. But by the end of that night, man, you're trashed. And you get up the next morning, man, you're hoping you're where you're supposed to be. I know many of people that woke up next to somebody they didn't even know. And all of a sudden, they feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit. Well, if you'd listened to the conviction before, you wouldn't have to feel like crap after. Because now you'd only have to ask God to forgive you. Now you've got to figure out how to forgive yourself. Because you did something stupid that's embarrassing that you wouldn't do if you had obeyed the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your friend. He dwells inside of you. Not only that, is you just took God to a party and got the Holy Ghost hanging around the booze. Come on now. If you really feared God, would you do that? If you really believed that he was who he said he was, would you do some of the things you do with him living inside of you? Come on, think about that. Where's God? Oh, he's living inside of me. Here, Holy Ghost, have a drink. Here, Holy Ghost, I'm going to go pound. Here, Holy Ghost. Come on, man, you've got to think about this. Because when you're saved, it's different from just being some religious person. Spirit of God literally dwells inside of you. This is not a game. This is real. And so you don't want to override the voice of the Holy Spirit. You don't want to have to deal with the conviction. Although conviction is awesome, because the purpose of a conviction is so that you do not breach or break the relationship with you and God. Because that's what happens. Sin separates you from God. Well, what happens if I sin and I die before I can repent? Yeah, you're in trouble. Yeah, you lost that loving feeling. And honestly, man, that should scare the hell out of you. Because if you died between your sin and death or the trumpet, well, sin separates you. So where are you now? You know, we just don't fear God enough. You know, I'm not talking, I'm talking honor, respect, obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, what is not of the Holy Spirit is condemnation. Everybody say, condemnation is bad. So say this with me. Conviction is my best friend. Condemnation is never from God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So what is condemnation? Condemnation is when you've already confessed your sins. Remember, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, that if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That when you truly repent, not just say I'm sorry because you got caught, when you truly repent from your sins are washed away, they're thrown as far as the east is of the west, and he remembers them no more. Condemnation is when you feel guilt over a sin that you've been forgiven for. That is never from God. When you feel guilt and shame after forgiveness of something you have done from the past that's already forgiven, now it could be thrown up by yourself in your own mind. I've seen a lot of people actually disengage their vision and disengage their purpose in God because of their past life. Don't let your past destroy your future if your past has been forgiven. If it's gone, it's gone. If God can forgive you, it's time for you to forgive you. If God says, I'm throwing it as far as the east of the west, remember no more, then why do you keep holding it so tight so it disengages you from your destiny? If God has forgiven you, then when people walk up, I'll give you some. My nickname in high school was Hands, and it's not because I was good with basketball. I used to grab a lot of Heine. Girls, back nowadays, you go to jail. But, you know, back in those days, it was a girl walked by, you grab her in the butt. And, you know, hey, she was cute. So my nickname was Hands. That was my nickname in high school. So March 13th, 1983, I got born again, approximately 11:31 in the morning. Gave my heart to Jesus in the office of the pastor, Pastor Stanley, I think it was. I don't remember. And I do remember all the rest of it. And it was with that youth pastor that was there, strange duck. But he led me to the Lord. And God forgave me of my sins. And I went and I actually started doing youth ministry at the church. And then I went off to Bible school. my first year was done. I'm back home. I'm in Gardner. We're going to Friendly's with my parents. And open the door to Friendly's, and I hear behind me, "Hey, Hans, how are you?" You know, it's hard to explain to your parents. "Hey, Hans, how are you?" I hadn't thought about being called that for so long. But you see, people will throw your past in your face. That's called condemnation. That's never from God. The devil will throw condemnation. How could God use you? Don't you remember what you did? That's never from God. And yourself. You cannot allow condemnation to hold you back from God's best in your life. So say this out loud. Conviction is my best friend. Condemnation is never allowed in my life. Paul said it this way. We need to forget those things which are behind and press forward to the mark of Christ Jesus. Now, the Bible says you can lie to the Holy Spirit. So that means he's a person. I'm doing really good time-wise, too. Glory. In Acts chapter 5, verse 3, then Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Keep back part of the price of the land itself." Now, what that means was the believers had opportunity, and just like in church, like we have here, there were many believers, and there were some rich and some poor. And what happened was some of them decided, "Well, I'm going to go sell my land and give the money to the church. I'm going to be benevolent. I'm going to sow into people's lives. I'm going to give money." So this man and this woman, Ananias and Sapphira, they had some property. They went and sold the property. And then Ananias came. The wife didn't come with him till, you know, she came later. Came and Ananias said, "Listen, here's what my sowing. I'm going to give all of the money from my land to the church." And Peter looked at him and said, "Why are you lying to the Holy Spirit? That's not all of it." Now, whose was it when it was his? His. But then he lied to the Holy Spirit. He didn't lie to Peter. He lied to the Holy Spirit. And he literally, Peter said, "You see those guys behind you? They're going to carry you out." He dropped dead. His wife came in after that. It's Acts chapter 5. Wife came in after that. And Peter said, "Hey, you know, you and your husband, did you guys give all the money to the kingdom?" And she goes, "Oh, yes." And he says, "See the guys behind you? Yeah. Those are the ones who just carried your husband out. They're going to carry you out too." And she dropped dead too. The Bible says great fear came upon the body of Christ. Now watch now. What we really need to understand today is that's the same era we live in. Same era. Lying to the Holy Spirit's bad. It's not good. It's bad. It doesn't mean you're going to drop dead. You better pray you don't drop dead, but you could drop dead. Adeboya, I believe it was Pastor Adeboya in Africa. There was a witch doctor. Was it a witch doctor? A witch. A witch that wouldn't leave him alone. So just simply said, "You're going to die." She dropped dead. We need to recognize that we're not talking about Joe Schmo, Larry across the street. We're talking about God. And this is powerful stuff. This isn't religion. This is powerful stuff. He is God. God doesn't like to run around killing people. He's not the God that kills. He's the God that gives life. But we kill ourselves when we step out from underneath the umbrella of God, and sin keeps us out from the umbrella. When Ananias and Sapphira lied, they came out from the umbrella of protection of God, and they died. When you come out, when you are living in sin, the protection of God's Spirit is not on you. Is she all right? Stop pinching my granddaughter. When you are not right with Jesus, when you are living in sin, you're in a dangerous position, especially if you are born again. When you step out from underneath the umbrella of protection, the umbrella of obedience, this we can see this all through the Old Testament. Every time the children of Israel rebelled against God, the enemy came, and the enemy came and put them into bondage. Every time you sin, you step out from the protection of God, the enemy has free shot at you. You have to be wise. Don't be foolish. Stop sinning. Stop sinning. Okay. I got to talk to myself too. Because I'm not perfect either. I don't think anybody is perfect. But the only way we sin is we choose to override the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You can also insult the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? The Bible says the Holy Spirit can also be grieved. You've been grieved before inside, man. It's almost like you're in pain. You're just hurting inside. The Holy Ghost, he is grieved. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. One of the greatest cases of this I saw was a woman was healed miraculously who had a birth defect. And the next night she came in and she's dancing around the altar, man. She's excited because Jesus healed her of a birth defect. Her elbow didn't move. I think I told you the story. She was from here, her elbow from being a child was frozen and never moved. And she always had a pen in her hand. Her arm never went above there. And I had a word of knowledge and she got healed. I asked her what was wrong with her left arm. She said, I was born that way. I laid hands on her in the name of Jesus. She was coming back the next night. Reached up with her right arm and shifted the gears of the car for the very first time in her entire life. Freaked herself out. Came to the church. She's so excited. She just got a miracle that no one could deny. Doctor validated and doctor proven. She's dancing around the front of the altar. And wouldn't you be dancing? Dancing around the front of the altar, and all of a sudden, a man jumped up and said, "You are dancing in the flesh. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." And man, up to that point, the power of God was just flowing around the altar. The moment he did that, it was just like a wet blanket. Everything stopped. And I looked at the preacher and I said, "You take care of him, or I will." And the preacher said, "Well, you know, maybe you should." I said, "No problem." I said, "Sir, you're out of order. Sit down and shut up." And then I said, "Now let's invite the Holy Ghost to come back because you just grieved him. You chased him out with your foolishness." And we just started worshiping again, and the Spirit of God descended again just like he was before. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You can also tell the defied. You can tell the defied. What in the world does that mean? Let's move on. I better figure that one out. Rewrite that in the book. You can speak evil or blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the only sin that cannot be forgiven. Blaspheming of the Holy Spirit is the only sin that cannot be forgiven. There's only one. So let me explain it to you so you don't do it. Is that fair? How many of you don't want to do this one? There's two verses, so let's look at them both. The first one's in Matthew chapter 12, 31 and 32. I'm getting to the second one now. Okay. First one is this. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, against Jesus, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. Ooh. Be careful how you mock the Holy Spirit. There's a big movement right now. It's called cessationalism, where they say that the Spirit of God, all supernatural, is of the devil. And this is what the Pharisees and Sadducees were saying. That the power that Jesus was using was of Satan. There's a whole group right now. In fact, I just talked to a local pastor who got a text today from another friend of his who is a cessationalist, which means that they don't believe the power of God is for today, and that if it shows, it's a demon spirit. And he said, anybody who moves in the power and the demonstration, like you're saying, is filled with Satan himself. That right there is about as close as you can come to blaspheming the Holy Spirit. It's attributing the things of the Spirit of God to Lucifer. It is a scary place. Listen, whatever you say about against Jesus, says you'll be forgiven for. But when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, no forgiveness in this age or the age to come. Don't ever speak against the Holy Ghost. Don't ever speak against the Holy Spirit. Don't ever speak against God's Spirit moving in church, God's Spirit moving in the service. That's a dangerous spot. Now, I'm not saying the moment you do that, I can tell you how you know. If you have committed the unpardonable sin or blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, you will never again have a desire for God, ever. I'm talking no desire. You will never want God. You'll never want to be near God. And from that moment on, mocking God is a normal part of your life because he is a laugh to you. The second way to blaspheme the Holy Spirit is found in Hebrews chapter 6. And it's found in verse 4 of chapter 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify Christ again for themselves, the Son of God, and put him to an open shame. Now, what does that mean? This is a person who rejects the Holy Spirit with absolute, complete understanding. This is a person who's been saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, moved in the power of God, understands spiritual principles. This is not an ignorant person or just a person saying something stupid. This is a conscious decision to tell the Holy Spirit, get out of my life. I want nothing to do with you, and don't you ever return. The Bible says to restore that person is impossible. Well, why is that? Who's the one who draws you to salvation? The Holy Spirit. If the Spirit of God is not there to draw you to salvation, you don't even have a desire for God without the Holy Spirit. So be wise with the Holy Spirit. He is your best friend, and he'll do everything in the world for you for success. But man, you don't want to grieve him. You don't want to insult him. And you see, many of us do because of the way we live our lives. You know, we're called to live holy. I didn't say perfect. I said holy. That means when he convicts you, respond to the conviction. And if you override the conviction, repent. I didn't say sorry. Repent quickly. Because you don't want to become hard-hearted. What does it mean, hard-hearted? That means when the first time you sin, you feel conviction. The second time you sin, you still feel conviction. The third time you do the same sin, you stop feeling conviction as much. Fifth and sixth time, you don't feel any conviction at all, and it's normal. Danger. Danger, Will Robertson. Danger. You're in a scary spot. Because that means the Holy Spirit has gone like this. They're going to do their own thing. Hebrews 6. Don't ever put yourself in that position. Respond to the Holy Spirit quickly. Well, you know, you're scaring us a little. Well, you know, it's not a bad thing to be a little scared. You know, my dad was a good spanker. I had a fear. I remember one time I thought I was really big. I'd been lifting and I had 18 arms. And I had a 17 neck. And I had muscles. Everything has dropped since then. But I had muscles. And my father was a contractor. And he had pretty, we called him Popeye. And I said, my head says I can take him. I got this man. I got this old man. I got this guy. And I reached up and I punched him in the shoulder. And I really hit him hard. And he looked at me and goes, "Now it's my turn." And he punched me in the shoulder. My arm went. And I realized I'm not that big yet. I had a healthy fear of my father. And, you know, today my dad and I have a good relationship. But, you know, I still would not disrespect him. I still have an honor for him. Even though I don't always like what he does, I don't always agree with him, and I at times don't even like him. But I won't dishonor him because I have a healthy fear for him. I really do think he could still take me. But I just respect him. Again, don't always like or agree, but you got to respect. And this is where we are with the Holy Spirit. You need to respect the Holy Spirit. Now, there are different symbols. The oil. Remember, we use oil when we lay hands on folks. We put oil on their head. There's nothing special in the oil. That's a representation of the Holy Spirit. Fire. The fire of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you'll see people pray and release the fire of God. I pray for people and they say, "I feel fire, literally. My bones, my flesh is on fire." That's the representation or a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is like a dove. The Spirit is not a dove. It's a representation or a symbol of the Holy Spirit showing his tenderness. We know the seal of God, which I talked about earlier, which is that Roman seal that says, "Hey, you are his." And then another sign or symbol is springs of living water. For Jesus said, "Springs of living water shall flow out of your innermost man." And this is talking about the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is so powerful in your life. You need to start developing a relationship with him. You need to start talking to him. When you get up in the morning, just say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit. I just thank you that I have breath within me. And let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Psalms 150. "I just desire that today you lead me and you guide me. I give myself a living sacrifice unto you, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service." Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And God, by his Spirit, will guide you all day long. Listen, I'd encourage you, if you don't do it already, at 6:15, Monday through Thursday, there is a call you can get on. It's a prayer line. It's for 6:15 to 6:29, every single Monday through Thursday. And you don't have to pray. All you're doing is listening and agreeing in prayer. But it will start your day off listening to the Holy Spirit, listening to the direction of God. Somebody wrote today on Facebook and said, "It's my first time on the prayer line, and it's exactly what I needed to hear from God." Well, why is that? Because God's Spirit will speak to you. You want to start your day off with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And he'll always guide you into all truth. And you'll be a powerful person for the kingdom of God. And the more you're keen to his voice, my goal is always to hear his whisper. I don't want him to have to go, "Hey!" Just a whisper. Just a nudge. I want him to nudge me. I want to be so keen to his voice that no matter what he tells me to do, I'll be obedient. And living in the obedience of the Holy Spirit means you live in perfect success. How many want to be successful? How many of you want to be a failure? Okay. How many of you want to be successful? How many of you want to be a failure? So let me ask you a question. How many of you want to be a failure? How many of you want to be a failure? How many of you want to be a failure? Well, I don't know why you're not raising your hand. How many of you want to be a failure? You're not raising your hand because you're intelligent. Nobody wants to be a failure. So if you don't want to be a failure, learn the voice of the Holy Spirit. He will always make you successful. Amen? Anybody got any questions? That was a good class. Anybody have any questions about the Holy Spirit? I see that in the 1, 2, 3, fourth row, third chair.
Oh, you four. Said you start.
You both raised your hand.
We did.
Okay.
You said you start praying to the Holy Spirit in the morning. You don't pray to Daddy?
What I do is I talk to the Holy Spirit, and this is what I ask him. Holy Spirit, I ask that while I pray to the Father that you direct me exactly what I should say.
So you're praying, you pray to both of them separately?
Yeah, I mean, they're all God.
Agreed.
Three, yet one.
Agreed.
The one who brings the message from the Father is the Holy Spirit. The one who helps us pray and intercedes through us is the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, being our mediator, he will also and already is praying for us and interceding for us.
He's our lawyer, yeah.
And what we do is in Jesus' name, because that's the name that the Father recognizes, as the Spirit guides us how to pray, teaches us how to pray, we'll pray the perfect will of God. And then we have 1 John chapter 4, 15 and 16. 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15, which says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, the answer is already on the way. Whenever the Holy Spirit prays whenever the Holy Spirit prays, you get what you get. You get what you pray. Because he is not going to pray against the will of God. And if you pray according to the will of God, then the answer is on the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
My question is for the time of Adam and Eve, were they filled with the Holy Spirit?
You know, the Bible never mentions that. But we know that they were perfectly holy because they couldn't literally be in the exact presence of God himself unless they were holy with no sin. And that was called the age of innocence. So they literally were able to walk and be in the presence of God at any point, at any time, because there was no sin in their life. It wasn't until they sinned that they actually recognized that they were naked, that there was shame, and that they were separated and needed to cover themselves.
Right. Because I know you were talking about that icky feeling, or the ucky feeling.
Yep.
And I was just wondering why Eve didn't get that feeling before she ate from the tree.
She probably did. I mean, the Holy Spirit deceived her is what the scripture says. Mm-hmm. The Bible says the woman are weak, and the man had made a willful choice. She was beguiled, is what the word says. Beguiled means she was actually deceived by the serpent, who was Satan. But Adam made a willful choice. So she was deceived. She knew she was wrong. I mean, God didn't beat around the bush. He said, don't touch that tree. But she was still deceived. But Adam made the willful choice. And by the way, Adam's the head. Should have snatched his wife up and made sure things were done right. Good question. Question down the aisle.
I have a question regarding condemnation. If it's something that you struggle with on your own, it's not someone throwing it at you, does that require a strategy of prayer, or is it more of a deliverance need?
Ultimately what it is if it's your own head, then the Bible says, take into captivity, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Taking into captivity every thought and imagination that would raise itself up against God. So what you have to do is you have to arrest those thoughts. They don't have a right to run rampant in your head. No thought has a right to run rampant in your head. If you're born again, you have the right to control every thought, every imagination, even in your sleep state. Some of you have nightmares. Nightmares have no right to be in your life. You have the right to take authority even in your sleep state, because your mind has no right to control you. Your mind is the soul, and the soul has to come into subjection to the Holy Spirit. Great questions tonight. I love questions. Anybody else? I see that lady in the front row.
This isn't really a question, but I have asked the Holy Spirit at night when I was getting ready to go to sleep if he would counsel me in the night while I was sleeping, only to awaken and in the morning to have direction going through my mind, knowing that it came from the Holy
That's
Spirit.
Right.
Is there a scripture that covers that?
I won't say there's an exact scripture. The basic principle is that he will guide you. And that he will make sure that you're directed.
Even while you're in the state of sleeping.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's what a lot of people have a misconception of. You know, well, I'm sleeping, I'm out of control. You're not out of control. No. Who lives in you? The The Holy Spirit. Your flesh doesn't have a right to run you rampant while you're sleeping. Bring your sleep state, bring your subconscious into order in Jesus' name and command it to be yielded. Now, if it's a spirit, if it's a demonic spirit, that's simpler. That's even more simple. And it's simply, in Jesus' name, you foul devil, you have no right to torment me in my sleep. And some people are tormented demonically in their sleep. I have a video in the other room where there was a girl in the Philippines who literally was being bitten in the middle of the night, and she would get up, and there were teeth marks all over her, where she'd be bitten in the nighttime. Well, if you don't think that's real, man, I tell you something. You're very ignorant, because that's nice things that devils do. Questions? Praise the Lord. Let's stand. See, this class goes by so quick for me. I mean, it's like I just spoke an hour and 17 minutes. I could easily go another two.